back to the program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Friday night, we made it. The week is coming to an end, but not without a little cherry on top, and I'm glad to provide that. by the way, it is me. If you sense a little raspiness in my voice, it's not. Don't worry. It's not signal disruption. It's the damn holiday parties. We had our company Christmas party last night, and I'll maybe share some funny moments from that a little bit later. But of course, when you play host and it's a loud room and we had about 100 people. And so 4 hours of talking. And so even someone like I, your host, I talk a lot. Yesterday was a test of my limits. So I apologize if I don't sound like quite myself. Fear not. It's me, and I'm getting through it. Okay. But speaking of getting through it, Hillary, she showed up on Capitol Hill. And let's be gracious for a minute. That's got to be tough. I mean, I think that when you lose, I still remember, by the way, losing an election in high school. I don't know why. I forget what I ran for. But I ran for some school-wide ASB, student body position. And I lost. And it hurt, and that was high school. Now imagine losing in front of, the whole country. And so Hillary, Hillary's gotta be, it's gotta be just it's a devastating thing. But so what, she reemerges for a semi-official purpose, which was to speak at the portrait unveiling for one Dirty Harry Reid, the retiring senator from Nevada, who's also the longtime Senate majority leader or Democratic leader in the Senate, both as majority leader and also as minority leader. Now, by the way, what this whole unveiling thing is? If you've never heard about this before, it's a big to-do. It's just one of the great things about politics in our country. Do you remember when the left, all the Democrats, were having a heyday with Trump's portrait? Do you remember this thing where he had some fine leveled against him over the flagpole, and he used apparently charity funds, and then he had a portrait made with using charity funds? Everybody was up in arms about it, and I forget what the cost of the portrait was, but it was something like $25,000 or some small amount. So these portraits that are hung in the Capitol building for retiring congresspersons are very expensive. I was talking to a friend who worked on Capitol Hill, and you want to guess how much they are? Almost a little over $200,000. It's an insane amount of money. Producer Robbie's literally rubbing his eyes right now. He's don't stay with me. Stay. I need you for the rest of the show. You can faint afterwards. And so who pays it? Good question. I try to get the answer here for Dirty Harry's picture. I know that there was a Republican congressman or Senator Jeff Flake recently who had his done, and he raised money for it privately, I understand. But he's the government waste guy. He's a champion for, he's the guy that's retweeting Trump's tweets on Boeing. But anyway, so this is a big thing. You retire and you get your portrait hung up, in the gallery of past congressional legislators. I have no word on what they had to pay the artist to conceal the black eye. If you remember, Dirty Harry fell somewhere, supposedly. But then, of course, the news leaked out that he had, maybe been hit by somebody who was mad at him. Anyway, so Hillary Clinton shows up and she gives the talk. And I'm telling you, folks, the Democrats are still in total denial. And of course, you expect it from her. But she at some one point uses the, she's supposed to just talk about how great, Harry Reid is. And she does that to some point, and then And then her proclamation turns, makes a sudden turn, and she begins to go at this fake news nonsense. Have a listen to this.
The epidemic of malicious fake news and false propaganda that flooded social media over the past year, it's now clear that so-called fake news can have real-world consequences. This isn't about politics or partisanship.
No.
Lives are at risk.
That's right. Okay. Hillary, you're out of your mind. First of all, we've addressed the fake news. I'm not going to relitigate that here. But the thing is, she's still stuck. And so many people, right, you watch the evening news. Well, maybe you don't, because you got better things to do. You listen to Sam Nation. But you see and you read what people are saying. The blabberati out there, the drive-by media, the mainstream guys, they're all lost on this, because their entire framework for why they lost isn't an analysis of, oh, well, shoot, maybe what we were selling people weren't buying. Their entire thought here is that they lost because their message didn't get out. That the American public didn't hear their message because of all this noise out there. This Russian propaganda, some, you know, fat guy in his basement, you know, putting up links to some fake news articles. And then they point to that guy who shoots up the cafe looking for the, what is he looking for? He's looking for the child sex slaves that are being held by Hillary Clinton, which I don't know. I've personally found that very believable. But anyway, so they're up in arms about it, saying, well, this is the case made for why we have this fake news is just leading people off the edge. And they don't realize that the big picture is that Trump represented a movement. You may disagree with this, but you've got to address it. If you're in the opposition, you've got to address it. And you've got to get real. I'll give you another example of this that may seem tangential, but it's not. Did you see that piece about Mika Brzezinski, erstwhile co-host of Morning Joe? Did you see this? Apparently, Mika Brzezinski, now she went off the reservation. This is now two shows that I'm making using Native American puns, but she went off the reservation because she criticized Hillary at one point during the election. And now news is coming out that the Clinton campaign wanted to have her pulled off the air. Did you see this? It's buried. I mean, it's because now, if you're an MSNBC host, you're not allowed to criticize. I mean, you're not allowed to criticize Hillary. That is verboten. OK, that's a niche goat. You do not go there. And yeah, I don't. We'll have to pull the clip. But basically, she said something, I mean, about how she was concerned that the Hillary Clinton, you know, that the Clinton campaign, they didn't understand exactly where they needed to be with their messaging and da-da-da. It was actually, honestly, a fairly tame criticism. But the Clinton people went nuts over it. Think about it. When you think about the imbalance of favorable press that Hillary received, that she was the beneficiary of, and you think you've got one person, one liberal host that says something, and the Clinton people go off, off in the sky, and want the host pulled off the air, and that's apparently what was happening. There were back channel, conversations with the powers that be over at MSNBC, saying this is done. Like, we want her off until the end of the election, and this all plays into. By the way, do you understand how this ties in? It's the fact that you don't understand that you're not getting through to people. If you're losing, listen, Hillary, I'll put it to you in this way. If you're losing Mika Brzezinski, you're losing a huge part of America that you need to win the election. So you don't shoot the frickin' messenger. And that's what the Clinton people were doing left and right. This was the laziest, most overweight. I mean, we'll talk about, the fat kid in Santa Claus later. But I mean, this campaign was so bloated. They had more money than God. Literally, this was the campaign that had money that would make Solomon blush. And what did they do with it? Well, nothing. That's it. They didn't even run any. I just saw another thing. They didn't run any ads on economics, on the economy. You know, they were so arrogant in assuming that they believed the caricature that they put out there on Trump, and they believed that Hillary was a likable human being, which she was not. You don't need polling to establish that. It's a given. How many Democrats? I always come back to the thing. Okay, fine. You didn't vote for Trump, or maybe you don't even know anyone who voted for Trump, or it was just that one crazy person that voted for Trump. But the people that didn't vote for Trump, who did they vote for? Okay, yeah. So they voted for Hillary, but now what? Did they like voting for Hillary? Did they vote for Hillary holding their noses? Was it, you know? Yeah, that's exactly. How many people do you know who were like, Hillary's my babe. She's my number one lady. I can't wait to have her be president. And by the way, I'm going to cover my car in bumper stickers. I literally know of one person. There's one person, a part of our Sam Nation team, by the way, and he's great. His name's Young, and we love him. But he's a little misguided politically. And that's it. He covered his motorcycle in a bunch of I'm with her stickers. And I don't know. And he wears a safety pin, so there's that. But yeah, Young's great, but he's literally the only person I know. And mind you, too, I got to tell you, before you write me off as the conservative guy on the radio, and of course, you know, you probably don't fraternize with any crazy liberals. I'm a lawyer in Southern California. Do you know how many liberal trial lawyers there are? I mean, all my friends are total liberals. These are people that went to bat for Barack Obama. They went to bat for Clinton, Bill Clinton. Okay, these are people that they still have Mondale stickers at home. Okay, and they were holding their noses. It's a bellwether, you know. It's the canary in the mine. And the fact that we saw this, you and I, we saw this coming before the election. We saw the indicators before the election when everybody was writing. Hillary Clinton was already out there, you know, with the tape measure. Figuring out, you know, what and the swatch palette, you know, figuring out what, you know, what color drape she was going to put in the executive mansion. And we realized that there was trouble in the air. And the left still doesn't recognize that was the problem. And the thing is we're getting kind of, now it's been 30 days, over 30 days, you know, it's time to start to wake up from this. And it's, of course, it's understandable that she doesn't get it. But the bigger issue is that the people around it don't get it. And every time I see people talking on TV, I just, well, it's good. Of course, it's good for us. I mean, it's good for Trump because in the meantime, you know, the right is regrouping and they're licking their own wounds. I actually think that they're, in fairness, I think that a lot of Republicans don't get it either. I think that this really, and I said this before the election, I say it now. This election was not, this was not a dichotomy between left and right, Democrat, Republican. This was an election between establishment and anti-establishment. And the establishment people, both on the left and on the right, are still completely lost about this. And that's why when Hillary goes to a room full of people on Capitol Hill and goes and there's Dirty Harry's $200,000, you know, total waste of space picture, because what the hell did he ever do for this country anyway? So there she goes, room full of, you know, people that are, and these are her people. She's in the bubble and she's speaking to them and she's telling them, you know what? This fake news thing. I think we can see that this fake news has real world consequences. And then in her nearly unbelievable arrogance and self-delusion, she adds that bit about it being life and death. Wow. That was deep, Hillary. That was real deep. So, what I'm saying is we're going to hold all these clowns accountable. And this is it. Do you think they're going to be ready in 4 years? To run with the Democratic Party, the best they've got is to get a maybe from Joe Biden. I got news for you. I mean, he's a dinosaur, but he gets it. He gets it better than Hillary does. That's for sure. Biden never would have gone down this rabbit hole. And I'll, you know what? I'll just throw out another thing here. And this is, you know, when we come back, I want to talk about this this party that Hillary's going to be throwing for her mega donors. And the thing's going sideways fast. So, all right, stay tuned. Be back right after this profit timeout. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Check out samnation.com for show podcasts. Email samnation at sam@samnation.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Like us on Facebook.
The holidays are here. The roads are busy and drivers are crazy. If involved in an accident, go to sweetjames.com.
Oops, I did it again. I lost your money. That's what Hillary Clinton's going to be saying to her donors. Sam Rogowski here. Okay, so this out by Daily Mail is reporting that Hillary Clinton's thank you party to all of her mega donors and people that gave her real cash. I'm not talking about the little people, you know, the $2,500 contributions that mean a lot to people on fixed incomes and, you know, poor people, the people Democrats care about. Those are not the people coming to this party. No. This is the party for the people who gave millions and millions of dollars. People like, well, you know some of these names. For example, Harvey Weinstein, you know, the studio big. And Anna Wintour, who is, you know, the Devil Wears Prada inspiration lady, okay? Vogue magazine, et cetera, et cetera. Big Democrats. And apparently there's a problem. Because the party that Hillary is hosting is in a beautiful ballroom at the Plaza Hotel. If you find that ironic, Plaza Hotel in New York City. Do you know what I find so ironic about this is, first of all, the Plaza used to be owned by Trump. Do you know this? And that's why in Home Alone 2, Trump had that cameo. It's actually a little backstory there. Trump's always pushed to get cameos in movies. It's one of his things. He's racked up more cameos than a lot of other, you know, celebrity types. But he got, you know, he probably gave him a good deal filming at the hotel. And then he ended up doing, he was on screen with Macaulay Culkin. He asked him for directions and da da da. Anyway, so that's the hotel. If you want to picture it, that's where Hillary Clinton's having her party. But the ballroom is like 6,500 square feet. And it's not big enough. And when I say, oops, I did it again, this woman has lost twice running for president. Once she lost in the primaries to Barack Obama. You know how much of her donors' money she lost in that little fiasco? That was $229 million. $229 million she lost. And now, this time around, she, well, she's got... What does she have? She's got $62 million left in her campaign out of $1.3 billion. Now, for you and I, okay, we're mortals, all right? So once you start going into billions, you lose all sense of what kind of money that is. But I get it. It's a lot, okay? It's a lot of money. And that's a lot of I'm sorry's and thank you's. I mean, I get it. You've got to throw a party, and you can't just hand out cocktail weenies. You know, you've got to bring out the prime rib cart. You know what I'm saying? And the good booze, because these people. Yeah. Oh, I think for sure. Do you think there's face painting? There could be. I mean, that's what I'm joking. Is people are gonna cry at this thing. They are going to cry. Wouldn't you love to be on a fly on the wall at this thing? Gosh, I would give anything to see these people. These are the most arrogant, self-involved, me people. They live in a total bubble. They have no idea. You know what? You watch their movies. You buy their magazines. You buy their clothes or clothes that are inspired by their clothes or whatever it is. Okay. These people get rich off of you. They have no idea who or what you are. none. And they sit in these bars and they pretend, oh, we're for poor people. And oh, I feel so good about myself. I gave money to Hillary Clinton. I'm so woke. These people are insane. I don't know. I don't know if I can even share this story about Harvey Weinstein, but it involved a private jet and urination. I don't know. It's, yeah, it's just a rumor. I don't know. I can't get into it. These people, I'm telling you, bad behavior, everything excuses it because they're liberals. And that's what they do. This is the mentality. And so now they're throwing a giant party. But I think it would bear in mind, Hillary Clinton, this is more money than anyone has ever raised in any presidential election ever. She almost doubled the amount of money that Obama raised and spent in his election. And I bet you if you unpackage this number, it's all a bunch of fancy hotels, private jets, lifestyle for Hillary Clinton, the candidate, her people, her husband, her family, salaries. There is more to this story than meets the eye. So damn straight, throw a party. All right, millennials, they're back at it after this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. It's my job to be cynical. I think that the people in the room are all smart enough to play with us. All right, you're listening to Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Your host, Sam Rojofsky, behind the Sam Nation microphone. Here we are. Okay, so... A little throw out here to a hat tip to John Glenn. Great American. Served in two world wars. I mean, before he did the whole space thing, you got to realize that. I mean, he served in World War II and then in Korea. Wow. And then, you think about this. And I think that this is the context for when I read the story about millennials and I'm going to share with you in a minute. Because you have this generation that's dying right now. They're leaving us. And we call them the greatest generation for a reason. I mean, they sacrificed everything. I mean, these are people that were first, really harmed and affected and raised in the Great Depression, gave everything to fight for their country, sacrificed, then came back, started families. You know, this was before we had PTSD. I'm not taking away from PTSD. These are people that had to get their you-know-what together. In a world where, we didn't coddle people, you just had to, and ladies, forgive this expression, but you just had to man up. And so I'm not saying there was, people were marked by this for sure. And there are people who committed suicides and it's a real thing. And if you're a veteran, you know what I'm talking about. But so John Glenn comes back from war and then listen up, snowflakes, okay? Because I want to talk about this trauma center. There's actually built a trauma center in Illinois for people who are suffering from snowflake-like problems, it's tough being in college and you're young and you got a ton of money and your parents have expectations. And then there was John Glenn, who took a tin can that was the size, maybe smaller than a Volkswagen Bug, and strapped it to a rocket that was fired into space. I mean, wrap your head around that. Yes. Okay. Now it's a paradigm. It's understood that, you can go into space and survive. But did the space chimp make it back? Didn't the Soviets put a chimp in space and then did he made it back or didn't? But anyway, think about it. You're the first human to go and orbit the Earth. And if you look at the space capsule that he was in, have you been to the Smithsonian to see it? It's tiny. It literally, Andre the Giant would wear this thing as a hat. A Fezzik, literally, this would be a Fezzik hat if you're a Princess Bride fan. And so think about the balls that you have to get into this little tiny thing. No, there. No, I don't. Yeah, it had a seat belt, maybe. It had a piece, probably a piece of rope that you tied around your waist. And it'd be fire in 1962. This is 1962 when most cars didn't even have power windows. And they were launching John Glenn into space. So, we here at Sam Nation salute a great American hero. And with that, we want to shame you. Every one of you that has checked into this place, what is it called? Yellow Brick, which I think is a tribute to the Yellow Brick Road. You know, follow the Yellow Brick Road to Oz, which don't get me started on that. But this place is for people with for whom there really is, there's nothing really wrong with them. But apparently they are people that are need therapy because they're having difficulty adjusting. These are people, in their literature, it says it's for emerging adult brains. You know, I've encountered a few millennials. I'm going to tell you right now, emerging and brain is not two things that I equate in the same sentence. But this is insanity. It's an inpatient treatment. Do you know how much money it costs, by the way? It's like $28,000 per month that they spend. Well, their parents spend. To for this live-in patient care where people spend months on end to recover from, you know, shock. And apparently their business is booming now after the election. These are young people who are so shaken up they can't deal with the fact that they're, you know, that their candidate lost, or that they have to get a job, or that they went to an interview and somebody was mean to them. I mean, God, unbelievable. We got to get a grip. All right, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, back after this.
Still don't know what I would... This is James Bergener, reminding you to drive safely this holiday season. If hurt, go to sweetjames.com.
All right, we're back. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And look, I normally don't do the TMZ thing, but I have to because TJ Miller, better known as Ehrlich Bachman, if you are a aficionado of the Silicon Valley TV show, you're not. We found a clip. Ehrlich Bachman's got to be one of my favorite characters on TV. So just will you indulge me here for a minute? Let me set this up. Ehrlich Bachman, the character on this HBO show, played by TJ Miller, is this kind of bohemian guy. He lives up in Palo Alto, okay, and he's got this house, and it's a incubator for tech geniuses. So a place where if you have an idea, you can go to this tech incubator and then he takes a share of your business if it succeeds. Okay, and so here he's standing in his kitchen and he's complaining about that the spoons have run out because they live in this communal environment. Play this clip.
I specifically posted a note on the refrigerator saying that the more narrow spoons be reserved for the eating of Faya yogurt by me. Look at this. The angle's all wrong.
Aren't you supposed to just tip that little plastic cup part up and dump the jam into the yogurt?
How would you know that? Have you been eating my Faya yogurts?
No, I saw it on the billboards.
Well, what they don't tell you on the billboards is that you can't get all of it out. Look at that. You have to dig it out. But you can't dig it out with these big as hell wide spoons.
Okay, I'm dying. So, by the way, those how do you pronounce it? Faye? Faye? Well, it's actually pronounced faggy, I think, if you want to get specific. But it's the little yogurt where you've got the little small cup that has the jam in it and the bigger cup that has just the plain, you know, yogurt. And then you can kind of mix it together. Well, there it is. Ehrlich Bachman, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the real Ehrlich, TJ, a.k.a. TJ Miller, was in Hollywood last night. He got arrested. Actually, it was a citizen's arrest of all things. Yeah, I think life imitates art because he actually is as big of an a-hole as he sounds in that clip that I played you. Apparently, he got picked up by an Uber driver. He was pretty drunk and then smacked the guy upside the head when he didn't like what the Uber driver had to say about Donald Trump. Yes, exactly. So here's how it went. I'll tell you exactly how it went. Because this happened to our very own Ashley last night leaving the party, right? You were telling us this right when we were coming into the studio. So last night, you grab an Uber, you're coming home, and the Uber driver is he's a black guy with a big fro. He's kind of looks really hipster, right? And he asks you, oh, in political science, you know, you're talking to him about your major, and he says, so what do you think about Trump? And I don't want to give anything away, but this young lady here is a Trump supporter. But she downplays it because that's what you do, right? You do that. You do the same thing when you talk to people. So she's like, well, you know, I can see the benefits, and see, you know, he's a business leader, da da da. And the guy goes, yeah, I voted for him, just like that. You never know who voted for him, but it didn't go that way for it didn't go very well for Ehrlich because apparently he smacked the guy on the head as he was getting out of the cab or getting out of the Uber. New rules. No, the new Uber rules do not. These are old Uber rules. You can't hit the driver. And listen, by the way, you know that I was talking to Sweet James about this, and he says that he's represented a number of Uber drivers who have been hurt by people doing stupid stuff on the road and their passengers. Passengers hurt Uber drivers a lot. Did I say that right? Hurt Uber drivers. I don't know why that's so hard to say, but it's true. It happens all the time. And he's had a number of cases where he's represented these guys and gotten them good money because, you know, that's it. Well, you don't want to. And Uber, the company, is terrible to deal with, by the way. They have insurance on these rides, but they will fight like hell to prevent you from tapping into their insurance. You know that? So what you want to do, trust me, any car accident, any type of injury that you have, it could be a dog bite, could be a monkey bite, like we've discussed the other day. But it's certainly, you know, if you're riding in an Uber this holiday season, which is the right thing to do if you've been drinking, that doesn't guarantee you your safety. So if you get hurt, you call the one personal injury attorney that we trust on this program to get things done. And his name is Sweet James Bergner, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. Okay, go Ehrlich! That was a funny clip. Okay, Sam Rogowski back after this. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Any drug that would make me eat a Taco Bell, I don't want any part of. Like, I don't want any part of that. And you're listening to Sam Nation, Sam Rogowski, your host on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Well, ho, 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 no mo. This Santa here that we talked to you about, if you didn't hear the show on Wednesday, I was talking about a Santa that had some giant fat kid sit on his lap, ask for a drone and an iPad. And Santa was listening to it, but crushed under the burden of this kid, he whispered to him that, you know, maybe, you know, you ought to lay off the burgers and fries. Well, looky here. It turns out that our hero Santa Claus has been forced to resign. He's been doing this in this little town in North Carolina. Let's see what town it is here. Well, I'll find it. But it's a little town in North Carolina, Forest City. Never heard of it. I lived in North Carolina. But anyway, so he's been doing it for 10 years. He'd make about $1,000 every holiday season. And this kid, I want to back up for a little second here. I don't think it's right to make fun of anyone for attributes that they really can't help. By this, I mean birth defects, okay? Or alternatively, characteristics that are immutable. That's a fancy word, by the way, for things you cannot change. But listen, I don't know where our country decided that fatness, obesity, whatever you want to call it, tub-a-lord, is an immutable characteristic. Last time I checked, you put less in your mouth, and you run more. You know, like, this kid needs to not play with drones on his iPad. In fact, what he needs is a freaking bicycle. That's what Santa should have said. No, I'm not getting you an iPad. I'm going to get you a bicycle. Or at least a big wheel. You know? If your mom's worried, you're going to drop off the bike. But that's just it. We don't say that anymore. And instead, we're raising... And this is it. Remember I was talking about the millennials earlier in the face of, you know, John Glenn, a great American, brave American, passing away. And these people with these, their feelings, it's just all about their feelings. If you feel something, you're right. You cannot be hurt. You're not, you are allowed and entitled to not be hurt, not have your feelings hurt. And how do I know this? So we played the clip on Wednesday about, you know, what the kid said. Oh, you know, I just feel so, you know, hurt. And now there's a new clip that came out after all this stuff with the Santa getting dropped, getting dumped. And the kid, now listen to this. So I'm just going to play the part of the clip where the kid is repeating what his mama told him.
Like my mama said, like, you don't want to disrespect a nine-year-old, even though what shape or size you are, it doesn't matter.
Do you see that? He's exactly repeating what he heard. My mama said, you don't want to disrespect a nine-year-old, regardless of what shape or size you are. Gosh, dang it, this poor kid, you missed a great life lesson. You know when teachers would tell me something like, you know, hey, do your homework. Hey, you know, maybe he needs to run a mile a little bit faster. I think he's being lazy. You know what my parents said? Listen to your teacher. That's what they would tell me. Listen to your damn teacher. That's what my mom would say. And now parents are telling their kids, no, teacher, listen to my kid. My kid's right. My kid has feelings. You have feelings. You have feelings. I don't care about your feelings. You're fat. All right, we'll be back here on Monday. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.